I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spirit is a master Srila Prabhupada, but opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge, off my humble obeisance, and to him and all members of Sri Parampara. So in this passage, Srila Prabhupada gives a nice summary of the ontological position, if you will, of Balaram. Who is Balaram? What is his relationship to Krishna? And what is his relationship to us? Because Balaram is non-different from Krishna, but he acts slightly different. He has a different complexion. He's slightly older. And as you notice, he's appearing before Krishna. Krishna appears in a couple of weeks. So how does Balaram relate to us? So here Srila Prabhupada explains how Balaram gives us the spiritual strength by which we can practice the principles of devotional service or the principles of bhakti yoga. And the way that he does that is through the medium of the guru, or the, what we probably call the spiritual master. So what is it that inspires us to do anything? We need to come in contact with something and become infused with the desire to relate to it. So in this material world, it's kind of a closed system in one sense. And we, the spirit souls in this world, are conditioned to one degree or another. In the human life, the conditioning is less than in the lower animal kingdom or the trees or the insects. What that means is that our consciousness is more developed in this lifetime, in the human form of life. It is a very rare gift. There's only, what, a few billion of us? What now, 5-6 billion on this whole planet? Compared to the number of insects and amoebas and blades of grass, there's trillions. We're very, very few of us here. And the Shastra explains, the scripture explains, that we've come through all of these species, gradually, gradually uncovering more and more of our consciousness till we come to the human form of life. Now, the human form of life is a junction, if you will, a form in which we can understand these subject matters. We can contemplate them with the superior intelligence and change the way that we relate to this world based on the understanding that we get from books like Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavad Purana. So that basic understanding is that we're spirit, we're not matter. We're acting as if we are these material bodies. But the material bodies are simply conglomerations of matter. There's solid matter here, there's bones, there's also various liquids, there's radiant energy, there's subtle energy like the mind. All of that is matter. It's material energy. We ourselves as spirit means consciousness, pure consciousness. The scientists can't explain it. They have no access to explain it. Time out. So this is a grand illusion. By misidentifying with the material body, we have to experience the pains and the pleasures of the material body. And eventually, as you get older, or perhaps through some accident, one has to leave the body. The body is just a big machine, very complicated. We're identifying it as a self, but it's not the self. So we change all that is dear, all that is pleasing here, all that we relied on in this world, in this lifetime, is ripped away by Krishna in the form of death. Mrityu sarvaharashchaham. This is a very sobering, it should be a very sobering fact. It's not up for debate. Anyone can understand it's true. Most people, we try to ignore it or put it out of our mind. But in Krishna Kanda, we try to increase our awareness of the reality so we can act properly for our ultimate benefit. So understanding that, when we first understand that from books like Bhagavad Gita, then we need a means by which we can get the spiritual strength to act on that platform, spiritual platform. And that comes from association with great saints who are living proof of the ability to live in this world in a transcendental state, not identifying with the body, but rather identifying with the true self and the activities of the true self. So that comes from the spiritual master or the guru. Now, Srila Prabhupada came to these shores in 1965, and virtually no one knew anything about these things, or certainly not in such a way that they could act on them systematically to realize them. Through his great effort and through his channeling, if you will, use that, or what do you call via media, of Krishna's teachings and the previous acharyas, his spiritual master, he was able to infuse some souls with the faith, with the spiritual strength, which also is a kind of faith, to act on this philosophy. It's chiefly through accepting the chanting of the holy name. It's almost as simple as that. To gain faith in the chanting of the holy name. Not just in the holy name, but that I, myself, should chant it regularly and hear it. Because it is the means, in this age especially, for getting out of this entanglement of illusion. So that all is coming from, is represented by Balaram. Balaram infuses each spiritual master, it's not just one, each spiritual master, the principle of spiritual master, appears in many times, many ages, many places, through many individuals, with that ability to infuse faith in some fortunate souls who are receptive to it. So this is a very important understanding, because it means Balaram is important for us every day of our lives. If we truly want to achieve the goal of life, achieve a platform of unending happiness and security and peace, then we have to practice bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga is the means, as Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita. It's all about bhakti yoga. He talks about different yogas, but they lead up to and are encompassed by bhakti yoga. So this is Balaram's ontological position. Now he also has a very important role to play through himself and his expansions in the creation and the maintenance of this material world. I'm not going to get into detail about that, but the different incarnations, God can expand. He expands first as Baladev, and Baladev himself expands as incarnations we call Purusha avatars, Mahavishnu, Garbhodaksha Vishnu, Chirodaksha Vishnu, in order to create this world and sustain it. So at every breath, at every moment, we are receiving the mercy of Baladev. Simply our existence here is under the mercy of Balaram and his expansions. So he appears also in more recent times as Nityananda Prabhu. Lord Nityananda was the closest associate of Lord Chaitanya, known sometimes as his brother, who specifically reached out to the lowest of the low in this Kali Yuga. We need so much help because it's not a good age for self-realization, yoga practice, and so forth. Very disturbed, as you've probably noticed. There's so many disturbances. Just to try to get a good night's sleep is practically impossible. Last night, someone was yelling and screaming, drunken, outside my window. It's not the first time. Very little sleep. Pacific Beach, party town. So this is the real party. The Sankirtan party is right here. You can see. So wholesome, You put your whole life into, and we had a nice one on Friday night too. You're all invited. Every night we have a party like this. Not simply dependent on how many come. We have class every night, and we have kirtan every night, and the more that come, the more that we'll enjoy, and these expenses. Minimal, nothing. Just show up. Anyway, we are all invited. So, Baladev, through the spiritual master, he gives us this contact with Krishna and infuses with the spiritual strength, Bala, for practicing devotional service. Now, in his Leela with Krishna, he shows by his pastimes how wonderful it is and how pleasing it is to serve the Lord. He actually serves Krishna in so many different ways. You may not know this, but all the paraphernalia on this altar and this very temple itself is an expansion of Baladev. He takes the form of the Singhasan. These are the wonderful altars of the Chamara fans, of the paraphernalia. He's doing that, taking that form in order to serve Krishna. So we're actually sitting, within a manifestation of Baladev, the Sankrishna. Interesting. Now, I just wanted to review one. There's so many wonderful pastimes of Balaram in this Krishna book. But one of my favorites, and I'll just summarize it because it's getting late. We started late, and so we'll just summarize it. But in chapter 65, it's described how Lord Balaram visits Vrindavan. Now, Krishna, at least in the Bhagavad Purana, doesn't overtly go back to Vrindavan. He meets the the Brajbasis in Kurukshetra. There's a very moving reunion there. But at least as far as the details of the Bhagavad Purana go, he himself doesn't visit Vrindavan. He leaves when he's very young, 15, 16, and he doesn't return. But he's very concerned about them. He's always thinking about them. Just there is always thinking about him, he's always thinking about them. And so he's afraid to go back because then the residents of Dwarka will be devastated. You know, so this is he's bound by the ropes of the loving emotions of his devotees. So he sends Balaram. Balaram wanted to go back, and he did. And when he went back, he soothes the burning hearts of the residents of Vrindavan. And it describes first how he met Maharaj Nanda and Yashoda, and they were asking, how is Krishna doing? How are all their friends and relatives, Vasudev and the others? And then they took him on their lap, and they started bathing him with tears and crying. Just they related to him as one of their children, even though he was an elder. That was their move, you know, the parental ras. And so they're crying in ecstasy. And then he also meets with the gopis, of course. And the gopis were overjoyed because Krishna and Balaram look almost exactly the same, just a little difference in the complexion. So they're reminded, you know, that the separation from Krishna is mitigated by seeing Balaram. And for a whole month, first he reminded them of all their previous leela, and he soothes them, and then he has rasa dance with them every night for a month, 2 months actually. I'm sorry, was it March? Yeah, March through May, it describes. And this, it describes, you know, went on for 2 months, but it happened like one night. It was they were so ecstatic in each other's company. And in this way, Balaram, he showed the mercy. Now, it also, this pastime happens where he drinks his Varuni beverage. That's why you see one of the favorite presents to give Balaram is some honey. He likes his honey. That represents the Varuni. Varuni is actually the daughter of Varuna, and it's kind of a mildly intoxicating, it's like mead, you know, like honey wine. And it's wholesome. But he sometimes gets a little intoxicated in this way. Seems to. He had become intoxicated drinking the Varuni beverage. His eyes rolled in a pleasing attitude. He was decorated with long garlands of forest flowers. And because of this transcendental bliss, Balaram smiled beautifully, and the drops of perspiration decorating his face appeared like the soothing morning dew. You know, okay, a Krishna book is very... like, everyone get one to read every day. Now, he was in this happy mood. He wanted to bathe in the Yamuna. But the Yamuna... this is a pastime. Didn't recognize him at first, so she refused to come. He wanted her to come where he was, and she didn't come. So he started to wield his plow. He's known for carrying the plow. One of his names is Haladaru, which means to carry. He's the carrier of the plow, and he showed some anger, and he's threatened to pull her with the plow. The plows you pull, right? And he wanted to punish the Yamuna because she did not come in obedience to his order. You wretched river! You did not care for my order, now I shall teach you a lesson. You didn't come to me voluntarily. Now, with the help of my plow, I shall force you to come. I shall divide you into hundreds of scattered little rivulets. So then the Yamuna personified immediately came and apologized. Balaram, oh my, Balaram, you're the most powerful personality. I didn't recognize you. I mistakenly disobeyed your order. I become a great offender. But my Lord, please know that I am a soul surrendered to you, who are very affectionate to your devotees. Therefore, please excuse my impudence and mistakes, and by your causeless mercy, may you now release me. So, of course, he forgave her. And then he and the gopis, they cavorted in the river. But it says at the end of the chapter here, as Balaram played in the river, and then he came out, he was dressed in a beautiful bluish garland. He has a whitest complexion. So, you know, blue and white are, of course, a very wonderful combination, colors. And then at the end it says that the river, to this day, it shows many different tributaries because of Balaram beginning to pull that river like that. So this is a beautiful chapter describing Balaram's loving relationships with the residents of Vrindavan. And there are many others where he showed his strength. He killed Dainukasura, he killed Pralambasura. Asura means demon. And in general, he has a very wonderful role to play here in subordinating and kind of complimenting Krishna's pastimes. And it's very nice to remember them on this day. And so let us all pray for the mercy of Baladev, and in this way become infused with the faith and the strength to practice bhakti yoga successfully and make our life successful. Any comments or questions about Lord Baladev? Yes, come on.
There's a very nice passage from one of the MP3s that I was listening to where Jagacharini was talking about the early days of Vrindavan when they were having so much difficulty building the Krishna Balaram Mandir. And Srila Prabhupada told the devotees to go to Lord Balaram and pray to Lord Balaram to help them and give them strength.
And it happened. It actually miraculously got built. Yeah, it was very difficult in those days. And although it was late, you know, Prabhupada went for the opening and it didn't open. There was nothing. But it came on in April of 75. Anyone else? Someone else? Yes, Prabhu. Ramesh. Yes, the strength is not physical strength. It's the strength of will. You know, Prabhupada gives an example. I was listening to these tapes of Prabhupada, so I'm always remembering how Mahatma Gandhi, you know, he wanted to liberate India. You know, it's very famous, you know, historical. So, how to do that? Well, it wasn't by force of arms. There were no arms. The British were ruling, you know. But he had the strength of will. You know, and he describes how he practiced celibacy to give him more determination to practice this non-violent non-cooperation. You know, that's very famous. And by doing that, he got world sympathy and he mobilized the whole population and they actually were able to kick the British out, you know, and get independence. So that's a material example. For anything, you need a certain strength of will if it's a difficult task. So it's very difficult to go against the conditioning that we've developed over many, many lifetimes. So it requires strength of will, the practice of discipline. Basically, what you have to do is to strengthen the intelligence and the mind to control the senses. At the end of chapter 3, study Bhagavad Gita, at the end of chapter 3, there's a section there describing what our real enemy is. Arjuna wants to know, what is it that forces us to do things seemingly against our own best interests? And he says, it's lust, it's kama, material desire, which soon becomes anger, and which is very destructive, mode of passion, mode of ignorance. So that's the real enemy. So he analyzes there, and he says, the way to conquer this enemy is through the intelligence. Evam buddhi padam buddha sangstap yatnamatna jahi shatram mahabaho kamarupam danasaram. So what does that mean by the intelligence? How do we strengthen the intelligence? By hearing. By hearing what? By hearing the words of the spiritual master, or the spiritual masters, let's say. That's what when we open Prabhupada's book. We're all disciples of Srila Prabhupada. We should understand that. Anyone who reads these books and is inspired by them and who has some faith is a disciple in the most important sense of the word, a follower of the philosophy of. Look it up in the dictionary. That's what I do for my devotional service as an editor. So that discipleship is strengthened through hearing. Now, it's best done in congregation, in a regulated way, and in association with those who are practicing. You know, then you get the inspiration to chant Hare Krishna. That's the main thing. And then you learn so much. So that's the strength that's being talked about. The strength to control the lower self by the higher self, and in this way to gradually cure ourselves from this long-standing disease of material desire. It's unnatural for the soul to be bound with all these desires bubbling up from the body and the mind and infused. This is not our real role. We're meant to be pure lovers of Krishna, servants of Krishna in loving exchange for eternity. That's real life. But to get to that point, from this point, requires discipline. That's why it's called Vaidhi Bhakti under rules and regulations. To get the strength to follow those, we need good association, the most important of which is through pure devotee. That's what we're talking about. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Srila Baladev.